Charles, marrying your first cousin is not as bad as it seems.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
A research study done over 7 years by a data scientist at Columbia University shows it is okay to marry your first cousin as long as your children do not also marry their first cousins. It's from Birmingham, Alabama. Big surprise.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
The headline's disturbing, but like genetically I thought it kind of made sense. I've always heard that a little bit of inbreeding is good for the bloodlines. I always thought that first cousin was a little bit too close. I thought the sweet spot was second cousin, third cousin type of thing.
Oh, God.
On 1340 WKGN.
Everything's fine in moderation, even inbreeding. You just don't want too much. It's like cauliflower. A little bit's good for you. I can bang my cousin, but my kid can't bang his cousin.
All right, you got any more headlines?
Hour two, kicking off the Fan Run Studios. Cody McClure, headlines, collision course, right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome, Cody.
The Broncos will not consider Colin Kaepernick if a quarterback is signed, John Elway says. He had his chance. The Broncos trying to decide what they'll do to find up a backup quarterback, which is ridiculous. You have one right there. Chad Kelly, he's right there for you. But Elway said Thursday Colin Kaepernick will not be in the consideration if they do go looking for someone. The Broncos, of course, have demoted Paxton Lynch to number three. People want him shipped off to another country in Denver. Chad Kelly, the number two. But Elway has not ruled out signing a veteran to be Case Keenum's backup. It won't be Kaepernick. Despite him being asked Thursday if he was a viable option. Elway said, you know what? I said this a while ago. Colin had his chance to be here. We offered him a contract. He did not take it. As I said in my deposition, he's had his chance to be here. He passed on it.
Yeah, there's a whole thing where he was going to get traded to Denver and was going to have to, I think, take a pay cut. And at the time, he said no. So this wasn't like he offered him a contract with the kneeling stuff at its apex. You know, the whole protest thing. Of course, you know what I'm talking about. It wasn't like they offered him a contract there and he said no. It was they were going to trade for him at one point and he said, I'm not taking a pay cut. Which obviously, in hindsight, probably a bad decision. But John Elway apparently is still upset about it. John Elway probably looks like this all could have, you know, his stain on his career, John Elway I'm speaking of, probably could have been avoided had Kaepernick said, I'll take that contract, because Kaepernick probably would have done well in Denver with that defense and the run game. Instead, he said, nope, not taking less money. And then John Elway went and drafted Paxton Lynch in the first round. Obviously, you know that Paxton Lynch in the first round was a terrible decision. And now John Elway looks like an idiot who doesn't know what to do at the quarterback position if Peyton Manning doesn't fall in his lap.
Do you think Chad Kelly will start it in games this year?
Honestly, I kind of do. I think Denver's going to be bad. I think Case Keenum had a really good defense and a really good offense last year, and they were able to hide him and make him look good. I don't think Case Keenum is all of a sudden good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to struggle in Denver, which is going to lead to them trying to look to find an answer in the long-term solution. And if they don't sign another veteran, I think that'll be Chad Kelly. I'm excited to see what Chad Kelly does as the number two quarterback.
Yeah, me too. Serena Williams, an interesting feature coming out with her and Time magazine. Apparently, just before the most lopsided defeat of her career, Serena suffered a devastating blow off the court. She revealed to Time in an interview for a feature published on Thursday that she learned about 10 minutes before her match against Johanna Konta at the Mubadala Silicon Valley Classic, that the man who killed her sister had been paroled. Yetunde Price,
mm-hmm.
Serena's sister. I could not shake it out of my mind, she told Time magazine. She lost 6-1, 6-0 that day to Konta in 52 minutes back on July 31st. Apparently, she was so rattled by learning what she had learned that affected her play, which I could imagine it probably would. So she found out that her sister's killer had been paroled right before the match. Had you heard that story?
I'd read it this morning, but I don't remember that in 2003. I didn't.
Her sister being killed?
Yeah.
I didn't either, because when I read that, I was like, well, obviously it's not Venus, but, you know.
I mean, I guess now that I'm thinking of it, there's a song called Dreams by The Game. You ever heard that one?
Nah.
And at the end of it, he says, like, the song's dedicated to, well, what was her name?
Yotunda.
I think that's who he dedicates the song to. He says it was Serena's sister who was killed, like, in Compton.
Yotunda. I don't know how to pronounce it. But
who was killed where he was from. So then I remembered that, and I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I did know that. I just hadn't thought of it in a long time.
I never knew about it because the only sister I ever hear about is Venus,
yeah.
Obviously. So
The quotes she gave after the game, you know, after she lost, after her match, she said, I just have a lot on my mind right now.
I'm sure she did.
So this isn't like a revisionist thing. Like, I'm just trying to explain why I got destroyed and now I'm coming up with this justification. Like, immediately after the match, her quote was, I have so much on my mind right now, I can't even really think about tennis, but just know that I was fighting when I was out there.
Yeah. I mean, you learn something like that, it's going to affect your play. You know, I mean, how could you expect anybody to come out and perform? It's just impossible.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be hard to do a radio show even.
For sure.
Ohio State, their president, says the investigation involving Urban Meyer will be finished when it's finished. The president said the school's ongoing investigation involving the football program and Urban Meyer has a bit more of a loose timetable. Ohio State placed Meyer on paid administrative leave. Of course, we all know what happened. The university appointed the special working group to review allegations on August 5th. The investigation was expected to conclude 2 weeks later, which would be this coming Sunday. However, Michael Drake, the Ohio State president, said, there's a great deal of interest in the investigation. We wanted to make sure we had really good information, and there is time pressure. We wanted to have that information as quickly as possible. The most important thing is to get good information so we can make the right decisions going forward. Sounds like he's sidestepping it a little bit, but...
Yeah. Pretty soon the season's going to be here and Urban Meyer's just going to be on the sideline.
Just out of nowhere? Like,
yeah.
They're not going to formally announce the investigation's over?
Yeah, the game week, it's concluded. Urban did nothing wrong. We're focused on... I don't know who the Youngstown State. Who's their first opponent? I don't know.
Oregon State.
I think. We're focused on Oregon State.
And you know, honestly, by that time, if they did that, if they just didn't say anything until then and just trotted Urban out as head coach, it would be forgotten about pretty quickly.
I would say that people would be so excited for the football games that attention paid to Urban Meyer would go down by about 40%.
Yep. Yeah, the college football world wouldn't care. I mean, they wouldn't be talking about it much more. Now, maybe CNN and, you know, the Huffington Post and all those places might still be running stories on it, but sports coverage would go to sports. The Philadelphia 76ers have hired former Duke and WNBA star Lindsey Harding as a full-time scout for next season. Harding was the number one overall pick in the WNBA in 07. Only the second former WNBA player to be hired for a full-time scouting position with an NBA team. Mavericks assistant coach Jenny Buchek is the other, having done advanced scouting work for the Seattle Supersonics in 2006. So the NBA welcoming a woman in as a full-time scout in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. It's awesome. Good for her.
Steph Curry says that his golf game may have influenced the Minnesota Timberwolves passing on him in the NBA draft.
Yeah, this is a funny story and kind of believable.
Apparently, Minnesota had two chances to take him during the first round of the 09 draft, and they passed it up.
Do you know why? Did you see the quote where he said David Kahn knows that? David Kahn, of course, is the GM who basically helped run Minnesota into the ground, selected Ricky Rubio and Johnny Flynn over Steph Curry. And Steph Curry was asked about it, and he was laughing about David Kahn. Said, "Oh yeah, I don't even know what he's up to now. Yeah, I think that he thought that I loved golf and that it's too cold in Minneapolis for me to golf a lot, and that I would be upset. So he's like, no, I don't want Steph. So he took Johnny Flynn from Syracuse, who was probably used to the cold, and Ricky Rubio. Well, I guess who wouldn't know any better? I don't know."
In Minnesota, it's cold, and I wouldn't be able to play as much golf, so I would have been miserable. Seems like a really weird reason not to draft someone, because you're worried about how they might feel off the court
especially,
when playing golf.
I mean, especially when you're taking someone from Spain. And I know Ricky Rubio at that point was a huge prospect based largely off what he did to Team USA whenever the Olympic trials were going on in the 2008 Olympics. Like, Ricky Rubio was 17, 18 years old out there balling, and he became this, you know, prospect that everyone was enamored with. But I would worry more about the culture shock of Ricky Rubio coming from Spain to Minneapolis than I would about Steph Curry going to Minneapolis. Obviously, he made the wrong decision. It's worked out for everyone except Minnesota. Steph Curry gets to play golf and live in Oakland, San Francisco, and the Warriors get to win championships. And David Kahn's out of a job, so I guess it didn't really work out for him. I guess really the only people it worked out for was Steph Curry and people who like to watch him golf and the Warriors and people who like watching them win championships.
Worked out well, though.
For them.
For them, yeah. Not so much the other side. Nick Foles suffered a shoulder injury last night.
The
first half of the preseason game against the Patriots and did not return. After the game, he said he felt pretty good. He will have tests on his shoulder today, according to Adam Schefter. So.
Yeah, let's get to some preseason talk next, because Foles out, that does maybe affect this NFL season. We'll get to that next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. (865) 546-8200 is the McKinney Team Hotline phone number. If you are thinking of buying a home, if you are thinking of selling a home, give my friends Travis and Emily McKinney a call or visit their website, ZillowKnoxville.com. The McKinney Team with Keller Williams will take care of you, and their number one priority is making sure you are satisfied. The number is 865-548-8267, 548-8267, the McKinney Team with Keller Williams. You know, you talked about Nick Foles getting injured last night in preseason game number two. I'm not sure that's the biggest injury coming out of that game. You see Isaiah Wynn, the Patriots' first-round pick.
The Georgia guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got hurt, too. It was originally called an ankle injury, but right now Ian Rappaport is saying that he is told it is a tear of his Achilles, which obviously would put him out this season, and with Achilles injuries on big men, you don't know if they'll ever be the same again. So Nick Foles getting hurt stinks for the Eagles. Isaiah Wynn tearing his Achilles for the Patriots seems like a really, really big deal. Nick Foles going down for the Eagles probably just means, if you feel bad for him, he just won a Super Bowl. He's probably, you know, the happiest he's been in life. And now he might, you know, be dinged up, tear a rotator cuff. We'll see what the reports are of his injury. But it might pretty much just result in Carson Wentz having to be back for week one.
He was probably the happiest he ever will be in life, quite honestly.
Yeah, I'd say so. He wrote a book. I think it got like in the top bestsellers list on the New York Times. He had just won a Super Bowl. He was living good. And, you know, now injured. I don't know how much of an effect that has on the actual season. Carson Wentz was going to get that job back when he was healthy.
Yeah, I mean, the inevitable was going to happen one way or another. I guess it was just a matter of when for Carson Wentz. Now they don't have they probably won't have the luxury of holding off. I mean, they might still, depending on how bad the shoulder injury is, you know, maybe Foles can come back quickly. I don't know.
Yeah, the last update, I guess, from Carson Wentz was basically that he was throwing the ball harder than he was before his injury. The Eagles apparently had Zebra Technologies player tracking installed at their practice, and it measures basically the velocity and spin rate of quarterback throws, and Wentz's numbers have improved early on in camp versus where they were at last year. So, you know, Wentz is going to be healthy. We'll see how much it affects his running game, because it is a part of what made him so special was his ability to escape the pocket. But to me, 85-90% Carson Wentz still more important than a Nick Foles. To me, the Patriots losing Isaiah Wynn seems like a much bigger deal. As the Patriots age and try to continue their run, stretch it out as far as they can, to lose a first-round blue-chip prospect like that, especially on the offensive line, really hurts. Did you see Tom Brady play the whole first half last night?
Yeah, I thought that was kind of odd. Do you think that was his call? He just wanted to play more to try to get, I don't know.
I mean, I would say he had to be okay with the call at least, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's got quite a bit of say in it, I would think.
I would say if he told Belichick, hey, I don't want to play, Belichick's not making him play. You know, it makes sense. Like, what's better, practice, scrimmaging, or just a preseason game? I feel like you could just go in there, do a half of work, and maybe take the next two games off. Maybe he doesn't play in preseason game number three. Maybe he feels good right now. The Steelers last night and Josh Dobbs, you know, you're looking to see, is he going to keep his job? Is he going to keep his job in the NFL as a quarterback? Even if it's not with the Steelers, does someone trade for him? He had a pretty good performance. His numbers look a lot better than I think he actually played, because the Steelers, I think, have found another stud wide receiver. You see some of those catches James Washington was making?
Yeah.
The Oklahoma State kid, he was going up and just plucking everything. Jumping over people's backs, catching balls. Like, he was just
looking like Landry out there.
Who?
A little bit.
Who?
Hey, the dude in Cleveland, Jerron Landry.
Jarvis.
Jarvis. Yeah. With the one-handed catches.
Was he catching them on Hard Knocks one-handed or something?
Yeah, you haven't seen his one-handed catches? He has, like, these special training techniques that he uses to pull down the one-handed catch. He just grabs it out of the air, pulls it in.
Okay, no, I didn't see that. I don't think of Jarvis Landry one-hand catch machine, but I'm thinking of him actually playing football, not practicing, but fair enough.
He's a one-handed catch machine.
Okay.
No, he's going to start doing it in games this year, too.
We'll see.
I'm telling you. He did it in the preseason.
Okay.
In the game.
We'll see.
I don't know. If you watched Hard Knocks, you would know what I'm talking about.
But. Fair enough. Don't come on here and act like I don't watch Like, I'm uneducated. I've watched
I mean,
a
you
lot
are
of,
on this season.
I've watched a lot of Jarvis Landry play football, and what James Washington was doing last night is not what Jarvis Landry does on a football field.
It's a one-handed catch machine.
Jarvis Landry doesn't jump over people and catch balls. Jarvis Landry catches six-yard slant routes.
Nice.
James Washington was going up and mossing people last night.
Yeah, you should watch Hard Knocks.
I don't want to watch him practice. I'll watch him do it on a field.
He's going to.
We'll see.
I think Jarvis Landry's the next big thing.
I think you're being fooled by Hard Knocks.
No, I'm not.
I think you're being fooled by Hard Knocks and watching a player practice.
Just really intrigued by his techniques.
He's catching this one-handed pass. I feel like they used to show Odell doing that during LSU games.
Where he's at.
I feel like he's probably been practicing that for a long time with Odell, and he still can't do it in games.
He can do it as
besides
well as
the point.
Practice.
Besides the point.
Yeah.
The Steelers have found another good wide receiver.
James Washington. No relation to Kelly Washington.
We don't know that for sure.
Gonna assume.
Can you say that for certain?
Yeah. 100%.
So if they are distantly related, you'll give me $1,000. Yes or no?
No.
Well, then it's not 100% guarantee.
No, it's just that I don't want to put myself in that position.
But you're guaranteeing it. If I'm 100% sure of something, yeah.
I'm 100% sure.
So you'll give me $1,000 if they are related.
No.
So you're guaranteeing
because there's a chance like I could be wrong.
So then it's not 100%.
I'm 100% sure that I'm right, but there's still a chance I could be wrong. I acknowledge there's a chance I could be wrong despite having full confidence. You know what I mean? Like, despite the fact that I know I'm right, I acknowledge that I could be wrong.
I'm not a numbers guy, but that doesn't seem to add up.
No, it adds up. It adds up. It makes sense.
I'm not a numbers guy, but that doesn't seem to add up.
I acknowledge that I am fully confident, but I recognize that I might be wrong.
Just a bit outside.
He missed the cue.
What was the cue on that one?
I wanted the Obama one.
We don't have the Obama
What's
one
the Obama
anymore.
One?
What happened to it?
It must have gotten taken out when we were rearranging all the stuff.
Maybe the drive took it and claimed it as theirs.
No, they just usually use, you know, Butch quotes and stuff. Good
Be
stuff
kind.
from the drive, though.
Be kind.
I'll take partial credit, I guess, for...
More like blame instead of credit.
Sure.
Credit and blame, it's all the same.
Praise and blame.
I know.
We used to have that one too, but it's gone. What happened to all our stuff?
I don't know. It's like one of us sits behind a computer every day.
Yeah, but like you're the one that rearranged all the rejoins and stuff.
That's not helping your case. That's not helping your case, master producer.
So,
no, I'm over the conversation. Just send us to break, Ben. The reviews are in. David tweets in, tell Cody just because he says it slower doesn't make it sound any smarter.
What is that in regards to?
Orlando tweets in, top five dumbest things Cody has ever said on the radio.
What? I don't even know what we're talking about. What did I say?
You've already forgotten the conversation we had 3 minutes ago. It's probably 5 minutes because I guess I berated Ben for 2 minutes for losing the drop.
What, when I said I can be 100% confident in something and still acknowledge that I could be wrong?
Yes.
Yeah, I stand by that.
That is... one of the dumbest things you've ever said.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
If you're 100% confident, you're supposed to not even fathom an opportunity that you would even be wrong. There's not even supposed to be 1% chance that you would be wrong. So you can't acknowledge that that even exists because you're 100% confident.
It's called unforeseen circumstances that has nothing to do with your personal opinion.
I'm 100% holding my cell phone in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
I have zero doubt that I am not holding my holding my phone in my hand.
You have zero doubt that you're not holding your phone in your hand.
Right.
Correct.
I'm 100% confident.
Correct.
There is no other existence where the phone is not in my hand.
However, let me throw this out for you.
Okay.
Just because you're 100% confident and you're 100% sure you're doing it doesn't make it accurate.
What? Yes, it's accurate. I'm holding my phone in my hand.
Only you can see that with your human eyes.
Ben Lee, can you see me hold my phone in my hand? Thumbs up from Ben Lee.
This is where human vision comes into play. You see it. You say it's a phone. Maybe the powers to be that control us, maybe that's not a phone. Maybe you look at it and you say, oh, it's silver. It's got a black screen. This is an iPhone that I'm holding.
Uh-huh.
That's what this is. Maybe in an alternate universe, that's not an iPhone. Maybe that's just a little brick, and the human eye can only see certain things. Spin zone. Like, I can be 100%.
That's nonsense.
There it is. There's
you
Barack.
Should know better.
You should know better. I knew Barack was somewhere. Like, I can be 100% sure I'm looking at this computer screen, but all I can be sure of is what I can see with my own eyes.
I'm not a numbers guy, but that doesn't seem to add up.
Okay, religion. Religion. People can be 100% sure in their heart that there is a God, right?
I'm scared to put my phone down now because then you'll say the 100% is gone. I'm now setting my phone down.
It's called faith. It's called faith. You can be 100% sure of something doesn't necessarily mean it's right. It's faith. That's for if you believe in religion or if you don't. You know, I don't want to get into that. I'm just saying. I'm saying what I said makes sense if you think about it. Now, maybe I'm not good at explaining it. That's a whole different thing.
BJ tweets in that this is a take of a man that has 100% tripped on acid.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Bo comes through. This was the drop I wanted. I don't even know if we had this one. All I thought of when you were talking was Billy Madison. Everyone listening to the radio right now or on podcast or on a live stream is now dumber for having listened to you go on and on and on about aliens and bricks.
JT tweets in, he's with me. He is 100% sure that you are holding your phone, but he wouldn't bet money on it because he can't see it with his own two eyes. Like, you can be 100% sure of something, and there could still be doubt, whether it's your own doubt or not.
Then you're not
100%. There's still doubt.
He's not
100%. You can be.
No, he's not 100%. 100% means there is no doubt.
T-Carp is 100% sure the Earth is flat.
No, he's not.
But there's still a lot of doubt out there about that.
No, he's not 100% sure, because you cannot be 100% sure about that.
You can be.
No, you can be convinced. You can convince yourself that it's true.
Ask T-Carp.
It is impossible for him to be 100% of that. We can't be 100% that the Earth is round. I'm 99. I'm 99.
I'm talking about you personally.
I'm 100% convinced. I am holding my phone because you know what?
Do you not see what I'm saying?
I have a phone in my hand.
I'm talking about you personally. There can still be doubt out there, and you believe something 100%. What's something you 100% believe in?
That I'm holding my phone in my hand because I am.
What about ghosts? You believe in ghosts?
Not 100%, no.
Well, give me something you believe 100%, and I'll tell you if there's some doubt involved in it.
I am 100% convinced.
We've already done the phone exercise, and I told you can only see what the human eye sees, and maybe in the universe they don't see the phone.
That's the only thing we can be 100% sure of, other than, okay, I'm 100% convinced that at this very moment we are sitting in a room together.
Yes.
I'm 100% convinced.
But maybe we're not. Maybe we're not. Maybe we're just characters in the imagination of some other being somewhere.
Right, but we're still in a room together.
That's what we see.
No,
yeah.
In the being. In
yeah,
the,
you
in,
and I are 100%
in your crazy
on
crazy alien being, we are still in a room together.
Maybe this isn't
maybe
a room.
They're controlling us.
Maybe there's a wall between us that we just can't recognize.
Nope, just put my hands through it. I just touched your hand. There's
I'm
no
not
wall.
I'm not saying
there's
it's
a wall, because if there's a wall here, I would hit the wall. And I'm
that's
not,
because
I'm
your
hand.
Definition of a wall is that it's solid. Maybe in the other universe, it's not. I'm saying you can be 100% certain about something and there can still be doubt about it.
No, you're, no, there's not.
No, you're making me out to be like a crazy person, but look, it's true.
I'm not even disagreeing with your wacky
It's not that wacky.
Your wacky take of there might be a wall between us and separating these rooms, even though there's clearly not. I'm not even necessarily disagreeing with that, man. Because I don't know your life, man.
Han tweets him, maybe there is no room.
Maybe exactly. There is no room. Okay, then the only thing I'm 100% sure of is that I'm holding this phone.
Many, many people believe what I'm saying.
And that it is Friday.
The reviews are in and my reviews are positive.
I think Jimmy Sparks summed this all up. Faith is believing something you can't prove. You can prove John has his phone in his hand. Cody, you're wrong.
No, I'm not even talking about proving something. I'm talking about casting a bit of doubt. Let's go to the courtroom.
If you have doubt, you're not 100%.
Let's go to the courtroom. All right, let's go to the courtroom.
Maybe I'm not 100% sure we're sitting in a room. Maybe I'm 99% sure because these aliens, man, they got these walls around us.
Let's go to a courtroom. O.J. Simpson.
Nothing exists.
O.J. Simpson 100% got off, right?
He is 100% not guilty of – he 100% won his court case, yes.
Right, so he's 100% not guilty.
No, I don't think anyone in their right mind would say he's 100%
not
guilty.
You just said he's 100% not guilty of his court case.
He 100% won the court case, yes.
Right.
Yes.
There's still doubt about O.J. Simpson and whether or not he committed murder.
100%.
That's kind of the same thing I'm saying.
Not at all.
Not even kind of.
Yeah,
not
it's pretty similar.
No, not even kind of.
Really, it is.
It's couldn't be further.
There can still be doubt versus
it's
100%
really proving
certainty.
My point is, if you're saying that O.J. Simpson 100% did not kill his wife, then you're an idiot.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he 100% was acquitted in the murder of his wife.
That is a fact of the court case. Yes, he was 100% acquitted. Yes.
There's still a lot of doubt, though. So, one thing can be 100% and there still be doubt about it.
There's zero doubt that he won his court case. He did not go to prison for murder. He won.
Right.
100%.
Right.
Yes.
No, I know.
Okay, what are you arguing?
But the fact of the matter is whether or not he murdered his wife.
We can't prove that. We don't know. No one's 100% sure. At this point, I would say OJ's not even 100% sure of what happened. But we are 100% sure that in history, he was found not guilty. That 100% happened.
Maybe that's a bad example.
It was a bad example.
Maybe that's a bad example.
I told you.
It might be a bad example, but I think my point still remains for the most part. In that you can be 100% confident in something and still be wrong. Wasn't that my original point?
You can be 100% certain of something and still be wrong. That's not where we got off on this.
I'm not sure where this started.
I am 100% sure it started
because you said
you were 100% sure of something, but you still had a little doubt that you might be wrong. And I just said... Fundamentally, you cannot be 100% sure and have doubt because if you're 100% sure, you have 100% confidence.
Well, what if I'm 100% sure that I'm right about something, but I can recognize that other people might think I'm wrong?
That's different. That's not what we're talking about.
I think that's kind of what I was saying.
You're saying you are 100% confident and you still acknowledge that you had a chance to be wrong.
Right. That's what I just said. I can still acknowledge that other people may think I'm wrong.
Right, that other people think you're wrong, not that you are wrong. Does that understand?
Is that not what I – was that not my initial argument?
No,
I mean, I don't know how we had to go through all this to get to that.
Because you can't
– That's what I said initially.
No, I
can be 100% confident in something and still be wrong in the eyes of others.
No.
But you just agreed with that. You did. Yeah, you did.
You're prefacing again with in the eyes of other instead of just wrong. You're talking about people's opinions rather than facts.
There's a gray area. Not everything is yes or no.
Not everything is.
Yeah.
But what you can't have.
Point Cody?
Absolutely not point Cody. You can't be 100% sure of something and acknowledge that you might be wrong.
We got people saying they're throwing their phones downstairs at this point.
I got a lot of people saying they agree with me.
I haven't seen anybody say they agree with you.
I've seen a few. Probably more that disagree, but a few agree. Volblood tweets in, I'm 100% sure this segment has gone off the rails, but I doubt everyone agrees. That's basically all I was saying, like, initially.
I don't know if you know what you were saying.
I don't either. I feel like you could have just let me say it and we could have moved on, you know? And I feel like you've broken it down, and now I don't even really know where we're at. We're in that other universe now. Yeah. It's like Interstellar. We've crossed into the other place. So now we're there.
My head hurts.
Kanye's tweets are all around. That's what heaven is like, by the way. When you die, it's just an endless stream of Kanye tweets. A meteorologist can say there's 100% chance of rain, but it might not rain.
All that means is that it rained 100% of the time when the situation was similar. That doesn't mean it's predicting that it's going to rain in the future. Do you understand how weather projections work?
No, I don't think meteorologists do either.
Who was it that tweeted that in? Because he is also a moron. Who was that that said that?
Kneezy. His name's Kneezy.
I love Kneezy. I didn't mean to call him a moron. Meteorologists. Yeah, they're saying that it rained 100% of the time in the past.
I'm 100% sure we could have had compelling sports content in this segment.
I'm not sure we could have. I'm not sure we could have.
Slow day.
Now my head hurts.
Just to acknowledge that I was right.
I will die. I will die before I acknowledge you were right. And I don't plan on dying today. Although I'm not 100% sure that I won't die today.
I already got one on you this week with Acuna. Here we are again.
Just go to break.
All right, you want to do some competent sports talk? Let's hear it, Cody McClure. What do you got?
Well, the MLB has suspended Jose Javier Arenas for 6 games after intentionally plunking Ronald Acuna Jr. And Urena will have to miss a start.
Updating the Toyota Knoxville poll question, what should our expectations be through the first 4 Tennessee games? 4-0, 3-1, 2-2, but competitive. 800 votes are in. Do you care to take a guess?
Gonna assume it's 3-1.
Yeah. 24% of people say 4-0.
Okay. All right, then. The optimistic quarter.
Roberto tweets in, 4 wins, 0 losses. Foster, 3-1 with expectations of beating the hell out of Florida. Curtis says 3-1 is what it should be, but I'm fully 4-0 right now. George of All says, keeping expectations low, but banking on being pleasantly surprised. Brandon says, if we don't win 3 in September, we ain't making a bowl game.
Okay. Sounds optimistic. I was very optimistic yesterday. I'm still optimistic. I know the coaching staff, as you pointed out, they're very optimistic. But if we expecting it, first 4 games, new coach, wins all 4, I don't know, man. I don't know if we can expect that.
I mean, I feel like you're kind of setting yourself up for disappointment if you're expecting.
If you expect it. I mean, look, I like it. Don't get me wrong. I like it. It's only rock and roll, but I like it. And the optimism is beautiful, but I don't know if we can expect it.
Votes are in. 43% of people say 3-1. 33% of people say 2-2, but competitive, while some scoff at that idea, saying That is the most Tennessee thing ever to try to go 2-2.
And that's with 100% of respondents having casted their votes.
Oh, my God. I just realized what I did yesterday for Knoxville, for the Twitter Knoxville poll question.
What'd you do?
All I did was tweet nothing. I said a Twitter Knoxville poll, and it had nothing. And then it said, love it or need him at LG and DR at LT.
Were you hammered?
No. What? It was during the show.
You for tweeted reason, what?
I was talking about Trey Smith at left tackle.
Okay. I knew we talked about him.
I was trying to I meant to tweet our Twitter Knoxville poll question, Trey Smith at left tackle. Love it? Or you'd rather him be a guard? And all I put was our Twitter Knoxville poll question. 100 people voted in it. 69% of people loved it.
Nice.
That's nice.
100% we had the conversation about Trey Smith. 0% chance anybody knew what the hell that poll meant.
Some knew. Some
100
knew,
I guess.
One person commented back and said, what's the question?
What? Our polls usually get like over 1,000 votes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one was 100, huh?
Sorry, Toyota Knoxville. Imagine
not a good day for the poll brand.
I can't imagine what Sawyer thought when he saw that.
Probably thought we were at the tavern. So, left tackle, I guess.
Texter writes in, Dan Walken's worst nightmare would be Tennessee starting 4-0. Yeah, I mean, there'd be a celebration tour, a victory tour. We'd be pumping our chest if Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, I don't even think we have to go 4-0. I think if he just beats West Virginia, Walken's life's going to be hell. I think Walken's life is going to be hell for the foreseeable future when it comes to Tennessee fans.
What do you think's more likely, 4-0 or 1-3?
4-0.
Hope so.
I mean, I don't see a scenario where we lose to ETSU or UTEP, right?
God, I hope not.
4-0 is much more likely than 1-3. Come on. What are you doing? Don't speak that into existence. What are you doing? It's Friday. We're trying to feel good.
I'm optimistic.
I know. 24% of people are expecting 4-0.
I'm with Jeremy Pruitt now on this beatdown of West Virginia.
They think they're going to be able to move the ball, man.
I like it. Hey, I'm invested.
I locked in the 10.5, too, yesterday.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was a 10. I bought a half a point.
Nice.
I don't know.
I mean, I'd ask you more about it. I just don't, you probably don't want to go into detail. Like,
no.
Air.
Yeah, I'd rather not.
Right. That's why I don't.
But I win. I was fired up because it was Wake Up Wednesday, WGWTFA Wednesday on a Thursday. And I said, you know what? We're going to win 6 games. You know what? We are going to be able to move the ball in West Virginia. Let's lock it in. I'm going to be pretty mad. We're going to be in a weird situation this year, like if Tennessee is not good. Because you can't be mad at a first-year coach, right? You can't be redneck mad, burn it down like we were with Butch Jones last year. We're just going to kind of have to sit on our hands and be like, yeah, well, that was unfortunate, but can't really judge a coach till year 2 or year 3. Even though I do think that is nonsense, I do think you could judge a coach from every game.
You mean if it was just like a train wreck?
I mean, if it's a train wreck, that's going to be tough. If it's a train wreck, man, that'd be really disheartening.
But if it's like 3-9 or something?
Well, I just mean, yeah, like if you're a train wreck, that's going to be disheartening because this is a first-year coaching staff. Like at least with Butch Jones, you could look and say, well, I mean, he got off to a bad start at Cincinnati, but he was able to win some games. Just give him time. He's been a head coach. Surely he knows what he's doing. If Pruitt gets off to a bad start, having never been a head coach before, there's a lot less evidence that he will be able to right the ship. Now, maybe he should be the one who deserves a break in year one because he's learning on the job. But if he just comes out and he looks awful early, it'd be really tough for us to do radio for 3 months. Because you can't be overcritical.
We did it last year.
Well, yeah, but we could just tee off on Butch at that point.
Well.
I mean, the proof was in the pudding, and the pudding was not yummy. It was gross.
Might tee off a little bit on Pruitt if it's really bad.
I know, but we're not going to be met with the same open arms of, yes, feed us more of this. It's, you know,
it's going to be 50% give him time.
People want Jeremy Pruitt to do well here. I want Jeremy Pruitt to do well here.
I think we all do.
Yeah, like we all want that. So no one was going to want to hear him getting trashed. So I'm hoping that he's not awful. I'm hoping I'm hoping that we are at least going back to this 2-2 but competitive mindset. Like I'm hoping that we could come in, do voluntary reaction after the West Virginia game, and even if we lose, we have some real positives to take away. I'm hoping if you do lose to Florida, it's not because of just coaching malpractice like it was last year, where you're obviously, you remember what happened. You're lining up in shotgun from the 1 yard line as you're running the ball down their throat. You're giving up a 63 yard bomb because you don't have enough defensive backs on the field. Like, I'm hoping it's not just because of coaching malpractice. Because this does have the potential of you getting introduced to new coaches, but also new, exciting young players. And recruiting is going well right now.
Yeah, I don't want to chug the Kool-Aid or anything, but I just, the more I think about it, it just seems like it's going to be hard for this staff to not get to a bowl game, at least. I'm starting to think that 6-6 should be the floor.
As I was checking our poll question results, came across a tweet from Brent 19 minutes ago. Quite possibly the dumbest segment I've ever heard. Can we get back to sports, please? Now I'm mad that we actually talked about sports this segment. Wish I would have seen that 19 minutes ago, and I would have made sure we did it again for another 15 minutes.
We 100% could have carried on that conversation for another 15 minutes.
I wish we would have now that I see that tweet. I'll show you dumbest segment. We can get way dumber.
Yeah.
You think that was a dumb segment? You stick around.
You haven't seen anything yet.
You ain't seen nothing.
Or you haven't heard nothing yet. Because we're an oral medium.
Well, they also haven't seen it yet.
Well, it's true.
We're working on it.
Yeah, we're going to be seen soon.
Soon.
I need to, like, really, before we do that, if we're going to do that every day.
Hit the gym?
Yeah. Nah,
I think you're a little late starting. I think we're going to fire up the videos in like a week or so. I don't know how much of a difference you can make in a week.
I need to shed some pounds. I need to trim my beard. I mean, I got a lot of things.
It's going to keep the pressure on me keeping my hair short. I got to make sure the hair does not get at that long, awkward stage where I really look bald.
You mean the longer it gets, you look balder?
Yeah, like if it's real short, you kind of just think, oh, maybe he just likes keeping it short.
Well, you have that thing where you have, like, the few sticking out in the front when it gets really...
That makes me look way balder.
Yeah, you're probably right.
If I keep it short and shaved, maybe you're thinking maybe it's a choice.
Like last year when you refused to shave it with the Georgia game.
It was bad.
Yeah, you looked rough. You did. I mean, awful, quite frankly.
Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.